I'd like you to turn with me to John's Gospel and to chapter 1. John's Gospel and chapter 1. We're going to look particularly at verse 14. Our text this morning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you keep your promises? Have you kept every promise that you've ever made? What's the greatest promise that you've ever made? Maybe it's to your husband or to your wife. Maybe you've made a promise to your parents. What is the greatest promise that has ever been made? Well, I believe it was the verse, Genesis 3:15, the first promise of the Bible. It was made by God, and so it could not be broken. It was made to deal with the problem of the fall and of sin. You know that promise. The heel of the serpent shall be bruised. There was a promised seed. When did that come to fruition? Where it's in this verse. The Word was made flesh. I want us to look very briefly at the facts and the associated wonders of the incarnation. How the Lord Jesus Christ became man. For 4,000 years, that promise hovered over the earth. How would God keep it? Where would it be revealed? Surely it would be in Jerusalem, the great city of God, the place where every Jewish person considered to be the capital and the central place of the whole world. No, not the city of God. Instead, it would be in a relatively obscure, tiny village, perhaps a market town, we might call it, the so-called City of David, although it was no city, not on our terms. 6 miles south of Jerusalem, no temple, no priests, no palace, no earthly king. Today, that place is still there. It has a population of 25,000, and it's propped up by tourists. Well, it had to be there, because that was exactly the place that was promised from of old. Micah 5 and verse 2 says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forths have been of old, from everlasting." Bethlehem, Ephratah, two names for the same place. Bethlehem, it means house of bread, the place that would feed the whole earth. The bread of life would be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the one that would feed the hungry soul with good things. But it was also called Ephratah. That means the place of fruitfulness. And the Lord Jesus Christ would be the true vine. It would be such a fruitful place, not with bread and with grapes, but it would feed the hungry, and it would assuage the thirst of all those who are spiritually thirsty. Bethlehem Ephratah, an obscure place, but the place where this promise of 4,000 years would be fulfilled. It hovered no longer. That was the day. The day that divided history before Christ and after the death of Christ, the place Bethlehem, where heaven meets earth. How could God deal with this great problem? Well, we turn to John 1. This chapter, when I read it as a child, it used to confuse me. It seemed to be a riddle. What did it mean? Well, it's a literary masterpiece. Every word has meaning. In the beginning was the Word. It's so similar to the first chapter of Genesis. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, the Word. And we'll look just at some of these things in this chapter this morning. The facts of John's Gospel, the facts of the Incarnation. How did God's eternal purposes, His plans for your life and for my life, how did they become real? How were they made known? How are the real facts turned into real things in our real lives? Into these facts, the historical facts of Bethlehem and a baby, the one that was and is and ever will be the Son of God, God injects real truth and meaning. Here's our text. And the Word was made flesh. Just pause. The Word. The Lord God, His Son, the second person of the Trinity. God, who is so vast in knowledge, in space, in time, was put into a finite, limited body for a short time. And He would experience all the limitations that we know: weakness, tiredness, hunger, thirst, death, and yet without sin. The eternal Son made flesh. Well, the first 13 verses of this chapter, they tell us all about how the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at the verses of our text, but before we can understand it, the key is to understand what is the Word. The Word. Is it a mystery? Is it confusing? Or is it really very straightforward? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, rejoice, the incarnate made into flesh, deity. So what does this mean? In these verses, we see 10 things about the Word. Let me just mention them. We won't expand them. It tells us the Word was in the beginning. When the world began, the Word was. Secondly, the Word was with God. The Word and God are indistinguishable in their time span. They were both there in the beginning. And thirdly, He was God from the beginning. He was God and He is God. He made all things. The one that made man was made into a man. In Him was life. There is no life outside of Him. In Him was life from the beginning. And each one of us, you and me this morning, He lights the human heart. There is no life in you or in me. The candle of our lives does not burn unless He lights it. This is the Word. This is Him, what He does, what He is, what He always will be. He lights the human heart and life, but the world did not know him. This great God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, wanted nothing to do with the Son. He came into this world. The world knew him not, pushed him away, shut the ears, put hands over the eyes. We do not want to know. He was in the world. The world, you and I, was made by him. But the world rejects Christ. The world knew him not. But even worse, he came to his own people, the people that the seed, the promised seed from Genesis 3:15, the Israelites, even they did not know him. It was mostly them that shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," when he went to the cross. He came unto his own, and his own, the people, his special people, did not receive him. Do you receive Christ today? Do you know this one? Or do you push him away? Not now. Not at all. He came, and we love the darkness more than the light. Oh, this is a joyous day, but this is a real chapter dealing with real facts, explaining what real life is all about. He came unto his own, but his own rejected him. But look here, this is wonderful. As many as received him. If we don't push him away, if we go to the light, if we receive him, he gives the power to come into his family, to be the sons of God. We don't have that power. No, none of us. None of us can choose Christ. None of us can work him out. None of us can find him unless he reveals himself to us. None of us are born into Christian families. None of us can come to God unless the Father draws him. Verse 13, which those that receive him were born not of blood. We weren't born into a Christian family. We might have the blessing of a Christian family, but we must be born again. Born not of blood. Born not of the will of the flesh. I didn't do it. You can't do it. Nor of the will of man. It's not my choice, because I choose the darkness more than the light. But there, those last three words before we look at our text. But of God. But of God. Everything about the incarnation is but. If it wasn't for him, if he didn't keep the promise of 4,000 years, if he didn't come into this earth, if he didn't reject our rejection of him, and if it wasn't for the but of God, there would be no salvation. There would be no receiving. There would be no coming to Christ. No heart that's turned. No heart that wants him. No heart that desires the light. Unless it was but of God. And then we come to our text. Let's look at these words. That's the word. That's the 10 features of the word. The word is Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, the word was made flesh. These are very unique words. It means flesh became. When Lot's wife left Sodom and Gomorrah, it tells us that Lot's wife turned back and she became a pillar of salt. That's not the became of the Lord Jesus. He always was, he is, and he always will be. No, this is a different became. If you're a husband, you're married, and you and your wife are expecting a child. You haven't got any children. And then the baby is born. You become a father. You're still a husband, but you become a father. And that's the sense of this verse. The Word was made flesh. The Word, flesh, human being, the human form, frailty, weakness, limitation. The Lord Jesus Christ became. He was still God. The husband is still a husband, but he becomes a father. He has two roles. He's God, he's man. He's still God, he's still man. The Word was made flesh. Flesh became. And then it tells us he dwelt. He literally pitched a tent. He had no earthly home. He would never own a house. The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. But he pitched his tent. His physical body, the flesh. It's a double repeat. He took on flesh. He pitched his flesh among us. Well, it means he dwelt. Do you know there are many false things about the incarnation? You can almost list a dozen things pictured on Christmas cards that have no biblical foundation at all. Do you know there was nowhere in the Bible that says there was no room in the inn that night? In fact, there was no inn. All the pictures, go home and look at the Christmas cards and notice the ones that have no basis of fact. Three kings, three gifts. Where does it tell us? It tells us there was three gifts, but there was no inn. The word kataluma, which tells us of where he stayed, it implies lodgings. He probably, all the evidence seems to point to the fact that he stayed with relatives, but there was limited space in the upper guest room of the home where he stayed. It's the same word that the Lord Jesus uses when he says before the Last Supper, the catalumia was to be prepared, the upper room, the guest room. It was probably a house of a relative, and there was a ground floor. And on that ground floor, occasionally, during the colder months, the animals were brought in. They were kept safe at night. The family would sleep in the upper room, but there was no room, no space, because there was people staying there. And so Mary, she probably gave birth in the ground floor, and therefore there was a place where the animals would eat, and that was where Mary put the baby, in the swaddling clothes, in the cloths, and laid him in the manger. What an appropriate place for the Lord Jesus to come and to be born. Not in Jerusalem, not in a palace, not in a grand place, but in a humble home, in a place where he would not belong and he would not stay because he wouldn't have a home. It would be a humble start, and that was where he dwelt. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt, pitched a tent. Temporarily, he came among us. And then it tells us, we beheld the glory of the Father. It wasn't his glory. We beheld the glory of the Father through him. We saw the greatness of his glory, the Father's glory. We saw his splendor. He, the Word, reveals it to us. I'm sure that's what it means. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Two texts that tell us this. Colossians 1:5. Christ is the express image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That word, it's in both texts. The express image. It literally means a coin stamped out. The exact copy of the Father. That's why Christ came. To reveal the glory of the Father. He was an exact copy of the glory, the greatness, the splendor, the majesty of the invisible God. He made the invisible God become, to an extent, visible so that we could understand his person. He revealed, he expressed the Father to us. He was the express image of the invisible God. But then it tells us that he was full, literally complete, replete, if you understand the meaning of that word, completely filled up. Such was the Son, an exact copy of the Father. He couldn't reveal everything of the Father. There was too much to reveal. But what he did reveal was full. He comes from heaven to earth to reveal an express image of the Father. We beheld the glory of the Father, and he was full of two things. He was full of many things. But two things specifically are mentioned here. He was full of grace. The word is charitos. It means graciousness. One of the colossal qualities that was to be revealed from God the Father to the earth was the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ couldn't reveal the infinity of God when he only lived for a finite number of years. He couldn't reveal some of the other attributes of God. But here, the grace of God. He was full of the grace of God, the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything he said, he was gracious. In everything he did, he was gracious. In the way he spoke to sinners, he was gracious. He said to the man who was unclean, "Be healed. Your sins are forgiven thee." He brought the lepers to himself, and he was gracious. In the way he dealt with his unfair judges, he was gracious. Oh, that grace. At Christmas time, in the incarnation, we see the fullness of the grace of God in a person, in his life, and in his character. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. His life was full to the brim. of the grace of God. But there's one more word here. The second colossal quality. And this was a quality that he revealed all that we needed to know of truth. What does the word mean? Aletheia. A comprehensive, complete, consistent revelation of God's truth to the whole world. Everything that we need to know about truth is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is other truth, we don't need to know it. Everything that needs to be known of God is revealed through Christ to us. There is no other eternal truth that we need to know except that which is revealed through Christ. He is full of the truth of God, full of grace and truth. If there is truth in this world, and there is a lot, truth in science, truth in history, oh, there is much truth, but there is nothing to be compared with the truth which Christ reveals from God, because it's all truth, and it's the eternal truth, the truth that we need to know about ourselves, to know about eternity. I read a quote this morning. It went something like this. Until you've discovered eternal truth, you've discovered nothing in life. Every problem that we have, every difficulty is swept away once we've realized that it's God's eternal truth that towers above everything else. The truth about my heart, that I'm a sinner. The truth about Christ himself, that he is a savior. The truth that I can only be forgiven if I come to him and surrender and accept his terms. The terms that he offers forgiveness are full surrender. And only then will he wash and cleanse us of our sin. This is the truth. This is reality. This is what he tells us. He was full of grace and truth. Well, the incarnation, it has at least three questions for us this morning. Do you have a purpose in your life? Do you know the reality that comes through knowing the one that reveals all grace and truth? If you don't know Christ, you have no purpose in your life, because you only find purpose in knowing Christ. It's in knowing him that you know the truth and you will know the Father. The whole of life is about knowing the Father. Everything else is irrelevant. The second question, do you have spiritual life? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to give spiritual life. He didn't come to make a home. He didn't come to settle. He didn't come to live indefinitely. He came to reveal spiritual life and the fact that the only way to the Father is through him. And then the third question, it was in the earlier verses, do you have light and understanding? This is a dark, dark world this Christmas time, 2020. The year that will go down as having so much uncertainty, more restrictions and difficulties, gloom and death and sadness and darkness. And yet, into this dark world, we have life. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to be the light in this dark, dark world. May he shine in each of our lives. How much the world needs light. The light that comes from Christ and the light that comes from everyone who he has lit with spiritual life and with understanding. Indeed, he is full of grace and truth. He that made man became man. Christ has come to us that we might come to him. The infinite has become an infant. Oh, the wonder of the facts and of the light of the incarnation. The Lord bless these things to us.